John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Miss Hope, would you care to pray for us?
Yes,
amen. Open your collection of reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man. John 9:1 says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So we see right off the bat, it's a difficult case.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hard case. It's a difficult case. And it's just like us. We were blind from birth. I was. I don't know about you. I was blind. I was a sinner from birth. That's where it all started. And I needed to get born again. That first birth was messed up. And I needed to get born again. But it's not too bad that it's a difficult case. If you remember, each one of you were a difficult case. Thank you. Matter of fact, these pews are full of difficult cases. And the Lord come through for you. It's really not going to be a problem because the Lord Jesus is a difficult case specialist. He specializes in difficult cases. That's what he does. That's who he is. And in chapter 8, it was, I've got on the paper, a mental problem. It was in his head anyway. Maybe not this guy right here, is blind, or chapter 9, I mean, is a mental problem. And chapter 8 was a moral problem. We saw the woman in chapter 8 in the beginning. Chapter 8, he said he was the light of the world. In chapter 9, he proves it. In chapter 8, he's despised and rejected by the crowd. But in chapter 9, he's received and accepted by one. By one. Chapter 8, he hides from the mob. But over here in chapter 9, he's going to reveal himself to one blind man. Over here in chapter 8, he was accused of a demon in the temple. Over here, he's acknowledged as Lord outside the temple, out back. And these leaders now were more concerned about rules and animals than they were about a blind man.
Yeah.
Luke 13:15. And the Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, dost thou not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water?" But these religious leaders weren't concerned about the blind man. They're concerned about themselves. Now this man had been blind since his first birth. Exactly like us. Exactly. He was helpless. He is helpless, hopeless. He's doomed and damned.
Yeah.
He has no hope, just like us. I don't know about you, but that's just the way I was for 20 years. I was beyond human help. This blind man's beyond human help. It's going to take something supernatural. Now, in the Old Testament, there never was someone healed from blindness. There was many miracles, and some were raised from the dead, even. But no one in the history of mankind had been healed from blindness. No one. No one been cured of blindness. Another thing, this blind man was not looking for help. I wasn't looking for help. I don't know if you were. I wasn't really aware of my condition. I didn't know how bad it was till after I got saved. Thought I was doing pretty good till after I got saved. Got my eyes opened up. Were you looking for help? Were you really? I wasn't even aware of my lost condition. And that's the way this man is. Did you see Jesus as a wonderful Savior before you received Him? I didn't. I didn't know. I was blind. I was blind. I couldn't see. That's not all. It's not just a difficult case. It's a debatable case. Look at verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither." You know, sometimes someone might ask you, "Should I do this or this?" Well, a lot of times they're both wrong. You can't do either one of them. They're both wrong. Jesus answered and said, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest." He was blind just so Jesus could pass by. That's the reason. That's the reason. It's not a question of who sinned. All have sinned.
Right.
It's not a question who sinned, for all have sinned that come short of the glory of God.
Right.
God with us is the testimony that the Jewish leaders needed to see, that I needed to see, that the world needed to see, and that we need to see. Then it's not just debatable, it's a deliberate case. Verse 4. "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." He came to work the works of God. That's why He was here. It was a deliberate case. His absence is nighttime. Before Jesus came, the night before Christmas, it was a dark world. It was a dark world before Jesus came. Let's look at that in 1 John 1:7. Brethren, excuse me. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Then in Romans 13, excuse me, I've been pollinated this week. I thought I was over. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Pretty soon, see, He's still coming. Yeah. He's still on the way back, and it won't be long, and the rapture's going to happen, and we'll be out here. The light of the world's coming to get us. Until then, we're supposed to be the light. Verse 6, now the cure. When He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay. It's holy clay. It's holy spit. I want to go ahead and say, He didn't just make the clay. He made the cosmos. He made everything you can see and everything you cannot see. He made the sun, moon, and stars. That's who's walking around here getting ready to heal the blind man. And God with us is who He is. And when He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. We see the clay, we see the spitting, we see the stirring. He stirred around and He smeared the smearing on His eyes. Mark 9, we see something similar. Mark 9:32. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask Him. Mark 7, what's the matter with myself? Mark 7:32. And they bring unto Him one that was deaf, had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech Him to put His hand upon him. And He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, He sighed and said unto him, Ephphrathah, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. I'd like to have a little bit of that right there. Chapter 8, Mark 8:22. And He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto Him, and besought Him to touch him. And He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when He had spit on his eyes and put His hands upon him, He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, He put His hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. I'm talking about holy spit.
Yeah.
the man's gonna get healed here because of obedience. Hear what I mean? Verse 7 is the command. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now he didn't promise him anything. He just told him what to do. And he obeyed. And it was public obedience and positive obedience. And no, thank you, Brother Steve. Makes me worse. I get choked up on that water. If I'd have rubbed mud in a blind man's eyes, I mean, if I'd rubbed mud in your eyes, you'd be blind. It'd blind you. But not the Lord. Not the Lord. The man would still be blind if he had not obeyed. And he did not say, go wash wherever you think best. Mr. Cartoon used to end up every station, if you old timers remember, and he'd say, go to the church of your choice this Sunday. Well, I don't recommend that.
Right.
I'd find me one that taught the Bible and taught the truth. All pools are not the same. He told him to go to Siloam. And then, in this case, there was no adjustment period, no therapy. He's healed immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. I got saved immediately.
Right.
When I received Christ, He moved inside. He needed the water to make Him see. The water of the Word. You remember the water lesson. The water is necessary. Let's check it out in Psalm 119, 130.
That's good. Very good.
Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Do you remember when you saw the light?
Yeah, yeah.
Verse 8 now. It's what the multitude said. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he.
Right.
Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Well, he's not blind anymore. He doesn't have to beg anymore. He used to be blind and he used to beg. And you know, for 20 years, I just kind of felt myself around. I didn't know which way was up. About died and went to hell going to church. I didn't know. I was just like this guy. The neighbors saw a change. They said, yeah, this is him that used to beg, that was blind. And he was changed. He didn't feel himself around no more, feel where he was going. They knew something had happened, and he knew something had happened. Verse 9, there's no doubt about it. He said, I'm he. Now, verse 11, he recognizes, and he says that it was a man. He answered and said, a man. How were thine eyes open? Verse 10, verse 11. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received my sight. A man. See, Jesus is salvation. He said a man did it. Jesus is the gospel. This man was ignorant of all else. He didn't know about Jeroboam and Rehoboam or religion. He had a transformed life. He didn't know about the sevenfold all man's. He just knew he could see. He told what he knew, and he was honest. He just told what happened, and he was bold about it. He said, a man named Jesus. And then, 12, then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. He's just honest. He just told what he knew. Now, 13, here's the clash. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now, he's not blind no more. He used to be blind. And they're bringing him because of a nose problem. Matter of fact, it's a real nosy problem. It's a real... The best thing they could do was nothing. They messed up. They attacked the man's faith. Why did they not just rejoice? Hey, this guy used to be... Look here, he used to be blind. He's not blind no more. Why wasn't they having a party? 14. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. See, he's the Lord of all the days. All 365 days.
Right.
Every year. Seven of the 33 miracles were performed on the Sabbath day. The Lord works. The Lord works. Now, in the Old Testament, we wasn't supposed to work. But I about figured out here in the New Testament, if you don't work, I might have a question mark on your head. We work on Sunday. We come to work. We come to work. 15. Then again, I'm talking dumb. D-U-M. Again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, "He put clay on mine eyes, and I washed and do see." This man's done figured out. Hey, this man, the blind man, figured out the man in verse 11 is also a healer. He's moved his estimation of him up a notch. See, he's not just a man; he's a healer. He's a healer. I don't know why everybody's not saying hallelujah,
yeah.
Praise God. I don't know why everybody's not saying amen, glory to God. 16's the quibble.
Yeah.
Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" Well, there's a question mark, and I'll go ahead and tell you he can't.
That's right.
A sinner can't.
That's right.
They're not dealing with a sinner. This is extraordinary. He's not a regular old man, not a regular old healer. And there was a division among them, a quibble. Some live by logic. I know it doesn't seem right that this would happen. Some live by legalism. Some live by love. The Lord loved him. The Lord loved everybody. The Lord loved Hitler as much as he loves me.
Amen.
I can't comprehend it, but he did. 17 again. They're glutton for punishment. They come at it again. And they say unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes?" And he said, "He's a prophet." He's a prophet. He moved from man to healer. Now he's figured out, hey, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. Now that's a big quandary to them. That wasn't what they wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear that. He's so thankful for his sight, he doesn't care what happens. He's not concerned about the consequences. Psalm 107, verse 2. I think this is Sister Carolyn's verse. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Hallelujah. The majority of the Pharisees feared the common people, but some of them feared the Sanhedrin. And it was easy to get excommunicated back then. And that's what they're getting ready to do. But they would accept Christ as a prophet. They would go that far. Let's look at it in Matthew 21. And even some of the people. Matthew 21:11. "And the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.'" And then verse 46 in that same chapter. "But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet." And then Luke 7:16. Luke 7:16, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people to improve the condition. Chapter 24, Luke 24:19. Now, I've told you many times, I knew Jesus was a prophet, a priest, a king, but I didn't know he was God. I didn't know he was Jehovah. Luke 24:19, and they're in the same kind of shape here. Luke 24:19, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And that's what this man's saying, that this is a prophet in verse 17. Many privileges, they didn't want to hear that because many privileges were allowed a prophet. The blind man knew it, the leaders knew it, and the people knew it. Verse 18. First they attacked the man's faith, now they're going to attack his family. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe, that's the real problem, concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now they couldn't ask for two better witnesses. They're looking for a possible loophole. There's many reasons to believe, but some are willingly ignorant and don't want to believe. Don't want to. Back then, most everyone believed in miracles, though. They didn't have a finished Bible, a complete Bible, the great advantage that we've got. But they did not want the Lord to get the credit. They didn't want that. Verse 19. And they asked him, saying, is this your... They asked them, saying, is this your son whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already. Now they didn't, they had their mind made up, not like the choir to serve Jesus, but they had their mind made up not to believe, that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. It was easy to get excommunicated. They said, we know. That's the short answer. No mistake. You can't contradict. But they did not get more involved than necessary. They feared the Jews that they'd get excommunicated. This is religious conniving. Yeah. It's what the leaders are doing. Of age, they would probably be about 30 years old. Been blind about 30 years at least. Then in 24, they had attacked his faith, his family. In verse 24, they attack his friend. Let's see, we read 22, didn't we? 23, therefore, said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again, called they the man that was blind. He's not blind anymore, the man that was blind. And said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. That's they're just getting dumber every minute. I mean, D-U-M-M-M-M-M. Jeremiah 7. They'd have let it go. If they'd had a party, a praise party, it would have been nice. Jeremiah 7:19. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? That's what's going on right here. That's what's going on. 25. He answered and said, therefore, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They're trying to convince him that he can't see. They're trying to tell him the sun ain't shining.
Yeah.
Then said they to him again. All the agains are wearing me out. What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Oh man, that really fired them up now. I mean, that got them. Now they're furious. Now, also this fellow figured out he's a Savior. Because a Savior has disciples.
Right.
This is not just a man. This is not just a healer. This is not just a prophet. But now he's figured out he's a Savior. Because
yeah.
A Savior has disciples.
Yeah.
Like you.
Yeah.
Like you. Will ye also be his disciples?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's great. That was straight from heaven.
Yeah.
28, the derision. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. 29, we know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fella, we know not whence he is. More ignorance. Not knowing is ignorance. You remember that. We saw it back in 8:55, yet ye have not known. And here it is again, we know not. He said, well, here's a marvelous thing. They reviled the man and his master. They said, we know not. These leaders have a blind spirit. They don't want to see. They're blind. It looks to me like they're also deaf. He said, would you hear it again? You can't hear again? You're asking me again? More darkness. Verse 30 is the clue. And the man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not. That leaders know not. That leaders are ignorant. That leaders don't know where he came from. That leaders are that you know not from which he is, from whence he is. Yet he hath opened mine eyes. This is inspired logic. It comes straight from heaven. He said, you know not. He made a quantum leap. He said, you ought to know this. How come you don't know this? The miracle and the man are right here, the proof. And the unbelief and the hostility is right here. The great I am is here. 31, the assessment. Now we know. Now the man that was blind is still talking, even though he says we. We is the common people. And we is the Bible believers. And he's copying what they say about we know. And he says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Even the common people know that. Since the world began, still the man that was blind is talking. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He could do nothing. He's figuring out more stuff. First it was a man, and then it was a healer, then it was a prophet, and then it was a Savior. Now he's saying, guess what? He's of God. He came from God. He keeps moving his estimation of him up. The man does. He's figuring some things out. He says he's of God. It's a solid conclusion. The prophet's from God. He's not a sinner. He's not a sinner. 34. Actually, this is an absolute nobody that's talking. He's a blind beggar. And if Brother John, you want to get ready, if you got that song ready about some small town, someone, nobody. Verse 34, they asked him and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Here's a nobody. He doesn't have a PhD, no capital letters after his name. They cursed him and they cast him out. He's excommunicated from the synagogue. He's outside the camp. He's outside of any denomination. He's out, kicked out from religious life. He's a spiritual leper. He's to be avoided by one and all. No employment, no family, and the same to anyone that's caught helping him. It's most humiliating to a Jew. He's surprised, but not discouraged. He's made of stiffer stuff than that. He's not going to quit. He's just glad he can see. He's going to walk by faith and not by sight. The truth can be patient, but religious can't. Religion can't. They X him out, but not out of eternal life.
Jesus dear, I still can't get up, and another people here.